fact that in the name means in the place of. And if you're looking at your study guide, I'd like for you to look on page 5. Now, we had just finished talking about the fact that the early disciples acted like Jesus. They understood the authority in which they were operating. They understood the authority of the name. And that name carries so much authority that the disciples were even commanded by the religious council not to use the name. Look with me, please, in Acts 4:18. Now, if you'll remember, Peter and John had just healed a man in the name of Jesus. He was able to get up and walk, and they were standing before the religious leaders of the day, the religious council. And if we look at verse 18, it reads, the word reads, "So they called for them and ordered them not to preach or teach at all in the name of Jesus." The religious leaders called Peter and John not to preach or teach in the name of Jesus. Well, this happens today. It's okay to say God, because we don't know if you're talking about God with a capital G or God with a lowercase g. But the name of Jesus divides. Look with me in Acts chapter 5, and let's take a look at verses 27 through 28. "After they were brought in, they had them stand before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest asked, 'Didn't we strictly order you not to teach in this name? Didn't we tell you not to use the name of Jesus? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to bring this man's blood on us.' But Peter and the apostles replied, 'We must obey God rather than men.'" You know, we should have that same reply too, shouldn't we? You carry that name of Jesus with you. Do not let go of the name. That name will get the same results as the man. If we're acting in the character of, if we're representing, if we're representing well. Now, go ahead.
You know, the world is more afraid of the name of Jesus realizing its power than the church realizes its power. The world is fearful because of the authority of the name of Jesus, and the church doesn't know its authority. They're fighting with all their might to do away with the name, to stop you from using the name. You know what the church is doing? Okay. You look at your religious denominations, okay, we won't use that name. If you knew the power in the name, the authority of the name, you wouldn't back down from a charge in Bull Moose. You understand? You'll operate with the name of Jesus. And that's what God's wanting us to realize, the authority vested in this name. Don't listen to their threats. Peter and John said, you know, you say don't use the name. Well, you just, we'll just put it to you like this. You choose. Do you think we're going to obey you? We're going to obey man or God? We'll do what we've heard and seen. We'll go with God. But if you don't know anything about the name of Jesus, you'll go with man. And that's what's going on today. They're just yielding right and left. Ministers yielding right and left. Well, I'll just use the word God, or I'll use the word Christ. I won't use the word Jesus. No, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You understand? That's where the authority is, the name of Jesus.
Jesus is the name above every other name. every knee will bow to this name. Every knee will bow to the authority of Jesus. Now let's read some scripture here. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1.
Turn the pages of this Bible.
Okay. Chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. He demonstrated this power in the Messiah by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. We need to understand the name. Look with me in Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 11. For this reason, God highly exalted him. For this reason, God highly exalted Jesus. That is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is it sinking in about this name? Do we understand this name? The authority with this name? There is no name that's higher than this name. The name Jesus was bestowed upon the Son of Man, which put him in position and rank of deity. He earned that name. Jesus, the Son of Man, conquered Satan. Jesus, as man, recovered the dominion which Adam lost. Adam gave it up. And he has begun to restore things to the state which God intended them to be. Now, what state did God intend to be? That God would rule, that His will would be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 through 28.
Note that she's saying, Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man. Everything that Jesus did, he did as the Son of Man. He overcame the devil as the Son of Man. He healed the sick as the Son of Man. You follow me? Because it's so easy to say, well, he did it because he was the Son of God. No, he was the Son of Man operating with the same Holy Spirit that you and I have, operating with the same name that you and I have. You with me? And so what Jesus did on earth, he did it as man, not God, but it was God in the man that gave him the power to do it. You with me? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. You know that Jesus didn't begin a ministry until the Holy Spirit came on? That's God set him apart. By the Holy Spirit. How do you think the body of Christ is set apart? By the Holy Spirit. And you know, we have that name. We have the authority in the name. And the Spirit of God has set us apart to use the name. But we have to realize that. If you don't realize it, you won't do it.
You know, we don't lack anything. The Lord has given us absolutely everything we need to operate the way He intends us to operate. If we lack anything, it's faith. If we lack anything, it's belief. If there's any shortcomings, it's on our end. We're going to read verses 21 through 28. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward at his coming, those who belong to Christ, then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, when he abolishes all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death, for God has put everything under his feet. But when it says everything is put under him, it is obvious that he who puts everything under him is the exception. And when everything is subject to Christ, then the Son himself will also be subject to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all. Well, Pete just said, he just told us and explained to us that Jesus' work is finished. But we're part of the body, and the body is to put everything under the feet. Now, look at verse 45, please. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth and made of dust. The second man is from heaven. Like the man of dust, so are those who are made of dust. Like the heavenly man, so are those who are heavenly. And just as we are born the image of the man made of dust, we will also bear the image of the heavenly man. Do you understand what that's saying? It was the biggest revelation to me, and I hope it has already been to you or will be to you, that even though I'm in a physical body, I have Jesus on the inside of me. Through His Word and His Spirit, I too can operate in the exact same manner that He did, for His glory, for the good of His kingdom. So, Son of Man, when you hear those three little words put together, that's a really big deal, you understand? Because that makes Jesus like us. If we choose to operate in that manner, if we choose to submit to the authority and the rule, do people see Jesus operating through you? Do they see Him operating through me? Well, they should.
You know, if you think about it, Jesus is called the Son of Man, the Son of God. Do you know we're the body of Christ? We're called the Son of Man, the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved, now are you sons of God. Now are you sons of God. That's the way John says it. And of course, we know we're sons of man, Adam. You relate to the dust. He said, just as we, and I'm going to paraphrase all this, just as you related to Adam and the natural man, so you will take on the image and relate to the spiritual man. In other words, you've had the image of Adam. Now, start looking in the mirror of the Word of God and see the image in whom you are made. We're made in the image of God now. We're born again. Okay? And so, being born again, we're of a different kingdom than the kingdoms of the world, than the natural world. We're the kingdom of God. That means we operate with a different government. We operate with different power. Here we operate with natural power as far as a physical body goes. But when we have the revelation of the authority of the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, And then we're operating with a supernatural power that will override the natural. You follow me? And so when we see God in us, it's God wants to superimpose himself over the natural man, to where instead of the natural being seen, the spiritual is being seen. Then the name of Jesus will be a major factor once again in the earth, when we understand who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that this name is more than a formula. This name is a person that we're representing. Okay?
But we choose, we make the choice. Do I want to operate under my own power and authority? If I do, I'm going to get my own results. Or do I want to operate under the authority and in the power of the name of Jesus?
Think naturally, you act naturally. If you think spiritually, you'll act spiritually. It's as simple as that. And so we have to get our thinking right.
And we control that. You know, I can walk in a situation, and I can walk in fearful. Well, I'm fearful if I'm in the natural, because I know what I can control and what I can't control. But if I keep my eyes focused on Jesus, I don't have anything to be afraid of, do I? Nor do you. Because he's defeated all the enemies. He's defeated our enemy. I don't have anything to be afraid of. Very good. Glad I got that established. Let's look at...
Ephesians.
No, we're right here.
Okay. Go for it.
The name of Jesus. The name Jesus was a... bestowed upon the Son of Man, which put him in the position and rank of deity. Jesus, the Son of Man, conquered Satan, which is, yes. Jesus, as man, recovered the dominion which Adam lost. And he has begun to restore things. Oh, we are. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Well, wise readers, reread. Has begun to restore things to the state which God intended them to be. Now, we just read in 1 Corinthians. Let's take a look at Philippians.
I think we've read that, where
Ephesians.
He talks about God's given him a name, highly exalted him.
Okay, I got myself all thinking about myself. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was placed far above principalities and powers. Now we're on Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Thank you for helping me. Okay. He demonstrated this power in the Messiah by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler, authority, power, and dominion, and every title given. Well, we readers just reread.
You understand the title given is still dealing with the names, right? Kings, presidents, it doesn't matter what you call it, what title you put on it, the name of Jesus has authority over that, okay?
The church, which is the body of Christ, has Christ's authority over principalities and powers. Here we go. We'll move on. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will B has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. Isn't that a happy thought? Now, go 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. In this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. For we are as he is in this world. We are as he is. You know, we're one. We've already read that one, yes. In
Ephesians
2:6.
Ephesians 2, 5.
together with Christ Jesus, He also raised us up and seated us in the heavens. You know, we're already seated in the heavens as spiritual beings. Isn't that amazing? So that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace through His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We'll finish that sentence. We have been given power of attorney to operate in Jesus' place. We've already talked about power of attorney, which is a legal instrument that authorizes us to act as one's agent. We've been authorized to act as Jesus' agent. With power of attorney comes responsibility. We know we have responsibility because we've been commissioned to do a work. Power of attorney can be used for or against the one who gave it. We can represent well or we can misrepresent. We can take advantage of, or we can do a good work for. One who is in Christ has the right and privilege to use the name of Jesus. The body is attached to the head. It's got one name, and that name is Jesus. We have authority over satanic activity through Jesus. We have the authority. Through the name of Jesus, we have authority over everything that has a name. Everything that has a name, you understand? There's nothing that is not under the authority of the name of Jesus. Absolutely everything. You know, everything we see in this world, He's created.
You think about that, whether animate or inanimate. Jesus said, if you say to this fig tree, or if you say to this mountain, you're with me, those are inanimate objects. But at the name of Jesus, they have to do what's being spoken. Jesus spoke to a storm and calmed the storm. Didn't He? He spoke to a fig tree and it died, didn't He? There's so much power vested in the name. Now, we're not talking about using the name haphazardly and just going around here and waving it like a magic wand or something of that nature. No, you use it in accordance with the will of the Father. What does the Father will? What does the Father want us to do with that name? Jesus didn't act independently of the Father, and we're not to act independently of Him either. When we go out and represent Jesus, then we're to do what He did, get our instruction from the Father. Listen to the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit of God. And if we're led by the Spirit of God, we're not going to misuse the name. The name's misused when we just presumptuously use it. Not getting instruction, not hearing God, and not operating in true faith. Okay?
Isn't that amazing? He said, you say to this mountain, moving on, we have that authority. We have that power for listening. And let's talk about operating in the name. We know that there's responsibility operating in this name. The name of Jesus gives the believer the power of eternity, a power of attorney to act in Jesus' place. The new birth gives us the right to use the name. Because we've become one with Him, right? We must have an intimate relationship with Jesus if we intend to take His place on earth. It is vital that we know His will and character so that our actions exemplify His wishes and desires. So it's more than just saying, in the name of Jesus. It's what we're saying is in the character of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, in the place of Jesus. And when we know who Jesus is, that's awesome. Let's talk about how this name can be misused. The sons of Sceva. Did I pronounce that?
Sceva.
Sceva. failed to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus. They were thinking that this name, they could use it flippantly like a formula. You remember? They wanted to get the same results that Paul got. But the results proved to be disastrous for him. Let's read and find out what happened. Look with me in Acts chapter 19 and let's look at verses 13 through 16. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, well, that's, they weren't even full-fledged, attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I command you by the Jesus that Paul preaches. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. The evil spirit answered them, I know Jesus, I recognize Paul, but who are you? Who are you using this name? Then the man who had the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them all, and prevailed against them, so they ran out of the house naked and wounded. Y'all, there are consequences to using this name. It can work for us or against us. Imitating Jesus can get you into trouble if you do not have a personal relationship with Him. Mimicking others may prove to be detrimental. That's why we have to listen to the Spirit. I can't watch somebody lay hands on one person and think, okay, that worked for them, let me just go do it to somebody else, if I haven't heard the Spirit of the Lord talk to me and tell me, you need to lay hands on this person. I guarantee you, if I put my hands on you, I'm going to do it with fear and trembling and in complete awe and respect of the Lord, trying to listen the best I can to follow the directions that have been given to me. All that we do in word or deed should be done in the name of Jesus. All that we do in word or deed is going to be judged by fire one day. Everything that we do will be judged. So if we're not doing it in the name of Jesus, chances are we're doing it of our own accord. And if I'm doing it of my own accord, I'm probably going to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Giving thanks. We're representatives of Jesus Christ. We are His ambassadors. We need to represent well because everything we say and everything we do will one day go through the fire test, if you will. We're going to be judged on this. An ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank, appointed and accredited as representatives in residence by one government or sovereign to another, usually for a specific length of time. A representative is one that serves as an example or type for others of the same classification. A representative is also a delegate or agent who serves for another.
Think about it this way. When you think of an ambassador, which and this is what Paul's talking about there in Corinthians, we're ambassadors of Christ. Where does an ambassador live? In an embassy? And where is that embassy? It's on foreign soil. So wherever his country sent. The ambassador doesn't live in his country. He lives in another country, but he represents his country in another country. So we're ambassadors. Our country, our citizenship is heaven, is spiritual. But we're here in another country, in a natural world representing a spiritual world. You're with me? This natural kingdom, we're here representing a spiritual kingdom. We're living here. We have our embassy here. That's an amazing thing if you understand this naturally, that embassy, even though it's on foreign soil, even though it's in that foreign culture, operates with the culture of its country, not the country that it's in. It operates with the power of its country, not the country that it's in. It operates under the protection of its country, not the protection of the country that it's in. I mean, it's pretty incredible when you draw the analogy of this, you look at it naturally and realize what's going on spiritually. We're of another world. We're of a spirit world, but we're living in a natural world as ambassadors of Christ to represent Jesus to this natural world. You follow me? So that they too can come into a spiritual world like we're in. So that's a privilege, but it's also great responsibility. And then there's a security in it at the same time. You're secure as long as you stay in the embassy. Stay in your protection. Where is that? Stay in the will of God. Stay in the will of God.
And ambassadors receive briefings daily, often, sometimes multiple times a day. Are we receiving our briefing? Are we receiving our briefing through the Word? Are we putting our attention on the Word? Because if we are, then we're going to know the will. Are we keeping our focus on the Spirit, not on the natural? If we are, then we'll represent well. Our total life should revolve around Jesus. Our total life. Not just our Sunday morning. Not just if we come to class on Tuesday or Thursday or a Wednesday group. Our total life. Everything that we do. Because we represent Jesus everywhere we go. We represent Him. We're His ambassador when we go to the grocery store. We're His ambassador when we drive through the teller and speak to the teller at the bank. We have the responsibility of projecting Christ to those we meet. Everywhere we go, every moment of the day. This isn't a part-time job. Just as Jesus projected the Father to those whom He met, we follow the same pattern that Jesus followed. Look with me in John chapter 5. Let's look at verse 30. Now this is Jesus speaking. I can do nothing on my own. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Now, can we say the same thing? Can I turn around and say this? I can do nothing on my own. I need Jesus because I can't do anything without Jesus. I only judge and do what I hear the Lord telling me to do because He's righteous. Or am I seeking my own will? Or am I seeking to do the will of Jesus who sent me, the one that commissioned me? Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Again, this is Jesus talking. So Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own, but just as the Father taught me, I say these things. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases him. Just as Jesus was in the Father, we have the invitation to be in Jesus and be one, do you understand? But are we seeking to do His will? You know, understanding the will and following through and with that will takes communication. It takes collaboration. It takes relationship and intimacy, and that only comes through fellowship. Jesus didn't bring any type of reproach against His Father. We need to follow His example. We don't want to bring reproach, do we? We need to be conducting ourselves in such a way that Christ is magnified in our lives. When people see me, do they see Jesus? Am I drawing people closer to Jesus? If they follow me, where will they go? Where will I lead them? We have an awesome responsibility as ambassadors. All right. Thank you for your time this evening.
Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand is with us to keep us from evil, that we may not cause pain. You bless us. You keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us. You give us peace. So, Lord, we invite You to rise up, let Your enemies be scattered, and those who hate You flee before You. Amen. Have a great weekend. Remember the writing lab. We'll be again Monday, and we're going to have some fun in this, okay?